You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Last month, the City of Winnipeg and the Government of Canada agreed to jointly provide more than $7 million to the evangelical organization Youth for Christ to build a youth center of excellence in the inner city. At a February City Council meeting where the proposal was debated, many community organizations spoke against both the planned center and the public funding process. The Community Education Development Association, or CEDA, was one of these organizations. Michael Champagne is on the board of directors of CEDA. He has worked for 4 years as a community youth coordinator and considers himself a positive example of what happens when community groups believe in Aboriginal youth. He joins me by phone this morning from his home in Winnipeg's North End. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
You've worked for and with a number of community organizations in Winnipeg, including organizations that provide resources for Aboriginal children and youth. Can you describe the strengths of Aboriginal-run community organizations in Winnipeg?
Well, I think the strength of Aboriginal organizations, the community-based ones that I've had the pleasure to work with, is that there's an understanding that programs aren't what change people, it's relationships that change people, and that holistic relationship-based approach is really effective in addressing the barriers that many Aboriginal youth face in the inner city. And so with that focus, in my experience, the strength of the relationships and the connection to the organizations and to the other young people involved in the organization ends up creating a network of support, which enables those individuals to then work together to make a change in whichever area, the organization or the individual feels like pursuing, and then that support is there.
How do relationships help people to stay positive?
Well, I think the relationships help people stay positive because often youth and, inner city Aboriginal youth are no exception, painted with the same brush or are often catered to by people instead of asking the kids what they want and responding based on their response. And often, governments will or organizations will work together to create solutions when, in actuality, the solutions that we require are right there in the heads and the mouths of the youth that we're working with.
Now, your organization is a smaller community-based organization. What are some of the challenges facing such organizations in Winnipeg?
Well, I think the challenges of at least for smaller scale community-based organizations is the challenge of funding, is the challenge of, being able to maintain consistent funding because there are a lot of project grants and a lot of short-term agreements that are signed. And so that funding challenge is always something that is, at the top of the organization's brain. I guess in addition to that is just the challenges of staying positive in the face of such adverse situations and attempting to work within an inner city neighborhood where there are, high rates of crime and high rates of poverty a general disenfranchised population. Other challenges that we face is being able to, just coordinate all of our different resources to ensure that, the gaps that are in our community are being filled. Because I think that coordination of services is sometimes, it isn't as coordinated as it could be.
Now, like any group of people, there's a lot of challenges facing urban Aboriginal youth. What are some services or programs that currently aren't being provided in Winnipeg that you think that people there need?
I think there are a lot of groups that are currently, attempting to provide the appropriate services for Aboriginal youth, and I think there are some very strong examples in Winnipeg's North End where they do take that relationship and holistic-based approach. However, there are some gaps, and in my experience, speaking in my personal opinion as a young Aboriginal male, I believe that there is a gap of resources for young Aboriginal men in the inner city, and for that reason, we are one of the most challenged groups of people in Canada. And in addition to that, I think inner city education issues are also at the forefront of the gaps, because the youth and the children in our community aren't able to access the education in a way that is, you know, culturally relevant or even, you know, seems like it's appropriate. And when that miscommunication occurs, you know, within the education system to our kids, then without that education, they can't really move forward within our society, you know.
Now, moving towards on to the organization Youth for Christ, I understand they will be receiving more than $7 million from the federal government and the city of Winnipeg to build a center of excellence in the inner city. How would CEDA and other community-based organizations have liked to have seen that money spent?
Well, I don't think any of the community organizations are disputing the fact that putting millions of dollars into youth programming and providing opportunities for inner-city youth is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think all of us are on the same page in that regard. I think the main concerns that the community groups had was that there did not appear to be, you know, an appropriate amount of consultation with the Aboriginal community itself. And in addition, there didn't seem to be a lot of transparency in the process with which this all occurred. And so suddenly there is this money that we did not, you know, us as community groups that are struggling with one another, competing for funding, trying to find enough resources and funds to be able to provide the services for our clients and our youth. And while we struggle with the money and the financial issues and working with these governments and other bodies to create the appropriate kind of programs that the community needs, and then suddenly there is $7 million that has appeared from other governmental money that we had no idea we were able to access. And I think that's what the challenge and the frustration is from the community group's perspective, in my opinion.
What were some of the problems with the process that resulted in money being given to Youth for Christ?
Well, I think the main thing that from, you know, what I was able to observe about the whole situation was that we were made aware that this, millions of dollars was being put into a facility approximately a week prior to it going to City Council. And in that regard, we were all just very surprised, because we had been told, you know, various times that, you know, when different community groups, you know, would be applying for more dollars and whatnot, that, you know, there simply isn't more money available. They're just, you know, we're these funders, you know, are providing as much as they can and, you know, aren't able to provide us with any more. And so that's fine for us. We're community groups and we're resourceful. We'll always, you know, take what we have and make the most out of it. But then when we're told that, and then suddenly there is an additional, you know, $1 million chunk of money that becomes available for a community group, then that's something that is alarming to us.
Well, we're talking about public funds and access to public funds. Do you think that existing community organizations like your own, CEDA, do you think you have the same opportunities to access public funds like the Youth for Christ organization?
Well, I definitely think that organizations such as CEDA, you know, with our history and our commitment to the inner city, have been able over the, you know, past 30 years or so, been able to develop those relationships with our funders and different governments to be able to have that that connection and be able to communicate, you know, what our needs are and where the gaps are. And so in that regard, I feel like some organizations are really able to communicate well. However, that is not the case with every organization, and if that, you know, history and establishment of, you know, being around for 30 years isn't present, then they're going to have a lot more challenging of a time being able to access those dollars.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges in accessing those dollars?
Well, I think the challenges is just the transparency of the process.
Mm-hmm.
If we understand how money can go from a government to a community group, we will follow the process to ensure that, you know, that happens. But in this situation, this just seems like a very expedited process. It all happened very quickly. There was no, public call for, development projects. And I just wanted to comment that it is commendable that Youth for Christ is, you know, taking initiative and coming forward and trying to, address a gap that is within our community. But I just think the frustrations from the community. perspective is that we were not, the community groups were not consulted, and we're working on developing opportunities for youth from a grassroots perspective, and at least from the inner city's perspective, it does seem kind of, I guess, out of sorts that this Youth for Christ organization is coming and going to be delivering services to our youth when that's what we're already doing.
Well, you talk about transparency. How could the process be made more transparent?
Well, because I'm not particularly familiar with the process that happened in regards to the Youth for Christ building, I don't feel like I can comment on what could be done better, but I know that in the past there, when there are funds that are available, there's a call sent out to the call for proposals to the community groups and other individuals and interested parties, and it didn't appear as if that was the case in this situation.
Okay, Michael. Well, thanks very much for talking about this with us today.
For sure. Thanks for having me, Sean.
I've been speaking with Michael Champagne. Michael works with youth in Winnipeg and is on the board of the Community Education Development Association.